Couple weeks ago, this place was pretty full, kind of like today. Well, this side's slacking. But then last week, wow, what happened to us? Where are we? What continent are we in, much less state, right? What a time to be here. But we're in the middle of a series called In the Beginning. It's a study of Genesis, the book of Genesis. But today, we're going to do that again today, but I just want to go back just a second. Man, is this not the truth for us? Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence. And no matter what the snow does, no matter what the pandemic does, we can experience the presence of God. And that's what we long for today. So this is where we want to go today. We have a teaching from Genesis, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. It's about, though, this idea that Genesis, along with the rest of the Torah, is some instructions for us about how to live. And some of the instructions come in a list of rules, like, for instance, the Ten Commandments. But a lot of them come from stories, and you tell the story, you listen to the story, and you hear wisdom. You hear foolishness. You see, this is the right way to go, and this is the wrong way to go, and you can tell by the story, and you then see, oh, this is going to change. This will impact my life when I put the message of this story into practice, and that's what we're going to do today. Today we're going to have a story that is somewhat, or at least I'm going to propose, that has to do with some boundaries. And some of the instructions we get, some of the best instructions we've ever had, are about boundaries. Because boundaries are for our protection. Boundaries of God are for our protection. And we're going to study, today we're going to talk about the story of Lot and some boundaries. But first, I have a story to tell, and it's about a paper cutter. Okay, this was several years ago in my office at ACU, shared office space, where the paper cutter is next to the copying machine, right? Some of you live in an office like that. The paper cutter's next to the, and there's some other things like, in our place, there was a refrigerator with snacks, and that was great. And there was other kind of papers, all kinds of different stuff in there. And I would do papers, because I was giving, back in the day, papers on, tests on papers, and I would cut my paper in half, my 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, cut it in half, and half sheet would be my little quiz I'm giving to my class. And so I'm in there cutting papers, and I'm cutting pieces of paper, and this is similar to the paper cutter that I had there. And there was, the paper on this side, and there's the paper sticking out this side, and then you whack it like that. And this red bar here is purposeful, And you know what, though? I didn't realize, or I wasn't thinking. I was doing these a lot. I had a lot to cut. And the next thing you know, my finger had kind of moved to the other side. Yeah, you know where this is going. Boom! And it hurt for a second. Well, actually longer than a second, I screamed, and then there was blood shooting all over the wall of this room. And the other people in the office were coming in and saying, "What has happened?" Well, I didn't want to tell, but it was kind of obvious. Boundaries, therefore our protection. Now then, this story. And man, this is a great story and yet a sad and horrific story. And today, we're going to talk about it. It is the story, it's the story of Lot, a teaching on making decisions. And Lot has a lot of print in the Bible, much more than you'd think. He seems like a minor character, but he gets a bunch of ink in there in these first chapters of Genesis. And we're going to talk through his story, and there's several different parts of it. And Elijah Smith, the son of Sarah Smith and the granddaughter of, Casey Smith. Sorry, Casey. The granddaughter of Sally Frazier is going to help us with the story. He's going to kind of kick off the story of Lot, who I'm going to tell you he's Abraham's nephew. And the first thing it mentions is that Abraham went, which is great moment of faith when God told him to go to a place. You don't know where you're going. I'll show you. And Lot went with him. And then Elijah's going to tell the story.
A long time ago, when they did not have telephones, there were two people called Abraham and Lot. Lot followed Abraham around, and one time Abraham's cows and Abraham's sheep, and Lot's cows and Lot's sheep were in a pen, and the servants had to feed them, and the servants started arguing, there was not enough grass, and there's not enough water, so Abraham said, you can choose your side, and whichever side you choose, I will choose the opposite. So Lot chose the side of more grass and more water, and the people there were mean. And then the other person said that, and then Abraham said, so he got the side that was dry, Abraham, and Abraham got the side that had less water. And there was a little bit of water and a little bit of grass, but that was it. So God said, this is where your family will grow, and I'll get you grass and I'll get you water.
Man, we've had some great lessons by our kids, and love it so much. Let's pray. God, we thank you for our kids and for the lessons that their parents and grandparents are teaching them. And we love your word, and we want to hear your voice today speak to us. Open our hearts for the message you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is where we're headed today. If you have a Bible, that's good. If you don't, you're going to have to trust me. If you got one on your phone, it's good too. We're going to look at some different verses. But first, I'm going to kind of tell the story of Lot. And so Elijah told the first part that Abraham and Lot had a lot of cattle and sheep, and they didn't have enough grass. For all of them. And so they split up, and Abraham went one way, Lot went the other way. And as it turns out, Lot does choose a place where direction to go that is where the people are, as Elijah said, the people were mean. And they definitely were mean. And so what happened next is once they've chosen that, Lot is living next to Sodom, and a war breaks out, and this is in chapter 14, a war breaks out, and Lot gets captured by the group of kings. There were five kings against four kings, and in this war, Lot gets captured, but Abraham goes and rescues Lot, and he rescues everybody who was taken as captives by the winning side, and so he rescues. Abraham rescues. Well, then, the next time Lot shows up in the story is God is going to destroy Sodom, because Sodom is a terrible place to be. The people there were teaching each other how to be more and more and more evil. Situation very similar to what was right before the flood. And so Abraham argues with God, bargains with God, because Lot, his nephew, is living in Sodom. And so Abraham wants to save Lot, but God says, I won't destroy the city if you can find 10 good people. Well, there weren't. So God sends some angels down, and these guys go down to Sodom, where Lot is living. And they go into the town, and Lot takes them into his house. And then the next thing you know, all the men of Sodom, it says, are kind of rushing the house, circling the house, and demanding that Lot send out his two visitors, his two guests, so that these men could have sex with them. Oh, my goodness. And then these guys, they're angels, they blind everybody who's attacking them. And they tell Lot, hey, you need to get out of town. And Lot, because we're going to destroy this place. So Lot and his family take off. Well, he has two daughters and two son-in-laws. The son-in-laws, they don't believe Lot. They think he's joking. And they take off, and the angels say, you need to run. You need to go here and don't look back. But Lot's wife famously looks back and famously becomes a... Everybody knows that part. And then Lot and his daughters now get away, and they go up to the mountains living in a cave. And the daughters are kind of crazy, I'm going to say. And they decide that they're going to get their father drunk so that they can have children when their father drunkenly has sex with them. And they have two boys. One's named Moab and one's named Ammon. And these two guys grow up to be the fathers of great nations, the Moabites and the Ammonites, always enemies of Israel. And that's kind of the summary of the story. So what's the point for us today? Right? Man, I want to tell you, there are a couple of points I'm going to make, and then we'll think about how that could apply to us. To me, the teaching point of this story has to do about decisions that Lot made. And he makes one decision that is followed by another decision that is followed by another decision that is followed by another decision. And it's like you've come to a fork in the road and you take one path. And then you go down that path for a while and you come to another fork in the road and you take another path. Now, if you'd have taken the correct path in the first place, you wouldn't have ever had this decision to make later down the road. Sometimes you may have been in this situation, I have been, where what happens is you wind up in a situation and you wonder, you say to yourself, it's a terrible situation. You say, how did I get here? I never meant to be in this situation, but here I am. And then you can look back at a string of decisions that you made or that others who you love have made, and you say, wow, my decisions had consequences. It didn't seem terrible at the time, but it's led me to a terrible place. The other thing, besides this series of bad decisions and how that can impact you, is the people who you're around, and this may be the biggest point we're going to make today, the people who surround you day after day have a strong influence on you. And their influence can even overwhelm you when you know better. I don't know if you have been in that situation or not, but I have been. Ninth grade, I moved back from Seoul, Korea, where my dad was in the Army. When I was in the eighth grade, we moved to Junction City, Kansas, Fort Riley, Kansas. And I was the new kid. And I met some guys, met some friends, and one of my friends was one of the coolest guys in the school. His name was Mike Zona, only you could recognize him as the Fonz, you know? He was just cool. And he befriended me. And what we would do is ride bikes after school. We'd ride bikes. I was a ninth grader, and we'd ride bikes. And at one point, we stopped down at a park, and Mike started smoking a cigarette. And Mike asked me if I wanted to smoke a cigarette. Well, I didn't want to smoke a cigarette, but Mike was asking me. You know what I mean? And if Mike was asking me, I was going to say, okay. Well, you know, I don't know if you smoked a cigarette, but you might remember your first one. It was not that pleasant. You know, it's this. But I kept at it. And I got pretty good at it. As a matter of fact, I got to where I didn't care who I was around. I wanted to smoke. Through the second half of my ninth grade year, I was smoking more and more and more. Now, the thing is, cigarettes for a ninth grader with no job were expensive. And so, first of all, I had to lie because, you know, my dad would say, man, you smell kind of like cigarette smoke. And I would say, yeah, those guys I was with were smoking, and, you know, it's on my clothes. And but not only that, what we would do, and me and a couple other guys, what we'd do, we would go to the officers' club, to the locker room where there was either a workout place and a swimming place, and we would go through the lockers and steal money. And I can remember real good, we thought we were benevolent thieves in that if a guy had some money, we would never take it all. We'd just take some of his money, and we'd go and we'd buy cigarettes. And finally, Dad and I had a showdown in the summer before my 10th grade year, and he said to me, you're either going to stop smoking, which, of course, we had a little debate about how, he said, I'm not as dumb as you think I am. I've known this for a while. But the whole reason, why did I smoke? I didn't like it, but I did it because the influence of my friend Mike. Well, the Bible is full of verses that talk about the influence of friends. Paul in Corinthians says this one, you'll know this, bad company corrupts good character. In Proverbs 12, it's the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. That was me. By the way, I'm 68 years old, and I did finally become where I did like smoking. I think I'm going to start up again when I'm 70. Maybe not. Mom says no, but, you know, Mom's 60. Mom's 90 herself, so she might not have a say. Then it says, Proverbs 18, one who has an unreliable friend soon comes to ruin. Think about that. One who has an unreliable friend soon comes to ruin. I want to look back at the story of Lot a little more carefully. And I want to notice a couple of verses that, to me, pinpoint his demise and also then may have something for us. So first of all, he's made his decision to take a certain part of the land. And here's what it says in verse 12. Well, Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. I want you to think about that. He pitched his tents near Sodom. Now, the people of Sodom were wicked and sinning greatly against the Lord. So this is a known thing. He pitched his tent near Sodom. I want to say that's kind of like Mansfield is to Arlington. Okay? He pitched his tent not in the city, but near it. Well, the next episode is this war that broke out. He gets taken captive. And in chapter 14, verse 12, it says he was taken captive. So they also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions since he was living in Sodom. Okay, so first of all, he was near Sodom. And then the next thing you know, he is in Sodom. Now, I wonder what caused him to move into town. Maybe the schools were better. I don't know. You know, it's closer to the grocery store. Why did he choose to live in Sodom? Okay. He lived near Sodom, and then he lived in Sodom. Okay, then comes the rescue. Or actually, this time where the two angels come to his house, and it says this, that they were storming the house because they wanted to have sex with him. And Lot was not going to let that happen because Lot was going to be a hospitable host. He was going to take care of the visitors in his house as you're supposed to do. And so here's what his strategy was. It says the men were all around the house. They're beating on the house. They're trying to get these men out of the house. This is in chapter 19. And they're trying to have sex with these two men. They're trying to rape these guys. And Lot says to them, no, Do not do this wicked thing. No, my friends, do not do this wicked thing. Now he's calling them his friends. Some versions say, no, my brothers. These men have now become his friends. First he lived near Sodom, then he lived in Sodom, and now Sodom is in Lot. Very much like Dr. Vanderland is talking about Egypt being in the Israelites who left, who Moses brought out and were headed to the promised land. Their problem wasn't that they were still in Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. And this is what's happened to Lot. And here's what he says. This is his plan to rescue his friends, right? This is how you know he's become a Sodomite in his mind. Here's what he says. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you want with them. I can't imagine that being Jeremy and Lainey. Can you imagine what these daughters are thinking? What is going on? Well, my point for us today is, what's going on with you? How has our culture imposed its rules and its way of thinking on us? Can we think that we are immune to our culture? Can you put a mask over your face and say, I'm not going to breathe in the culture? How have we been, I'm going to say, damaged in our hearts and minds by our culture? Lot's culture had put him in a place, can he ever imagine doing these things? Well, then what happens next? The city is destroyed, and Lot and his daughters flee to the mountains. And here's the way the end of the story of Lot in Genesis goes, just like this. The next day, verse 33. That night, they're in a cave. They got their father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and slept with him. And he was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. And the next day, the older daughter said to the younger, last night I slept with my father. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight. And you go in and sleep with him so we can preserve our family line through our father. Now you think, what are these girls thinking? Well, what do you think? They grew up in Sodom. This is what people would think if they grew up in Sodom. They had become Sodomites. They had become Sodomites. Now, here's another perspective, though. And this happens often, very often, as we can see in the story of Abraham, as we'll look at perhaps a little bit in the next couple of weeks, some more of the story of Abraham. When you get to the New Testament, there is a different perspective on even this event, okay? And so 2 Peter talks about this event, and Peter is trying to warn people to be ready for the day when Jesus returns. And he's talking, he gets to how the people of Sodom were not prepared. They were wicked people, and they were destroyed, and so don't be like them. You know, this is Peter warning. And then he says this, and if he's talking about God, if God rescued Lot, a righteous man, and this righteous man was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man, Lot, living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. Here's the perspective of Peter. Lot was a good guy. And a lot of good people find themselves in bad situations, and yet Lot, the way Genesis tells it, Lot was overcome by it. A lot of times, good people end up making bad decisions and end up in a place where they think, how did I get here? This is not what my plan was for my life. This is not what I wanted to do in this relationship. This is not what I wanted to do with my finances. This is not what I wanted to do with my career. All of a sudden, I'm in a place and I thought, how did I get here? Good people sometimes make bad decisions and end up in bad places. And the bad decisions we make impact significant parts of our lives. Sometimes you're forgiven of the bad decision, but the damage is done. Sometimes relationships are ruined or shattered, and sometimes trust is lost. So here's the message for, I think, us today. It's important who your friends are. It's important who your friends are. So surround yourself with people who love God and who seek His will, who are active in seeking His will. I'm wondering if you have a friend in your life who you're spending time with, and when you're with them, you're more likely to think about God. Do you have friends like that? Who, when you're with them, you're more likely, your conversations are more positive. Your conversations are built on hope and trust in God. Sometimes friends like that will act as the boundary for your life. They'll help save you from cutting your finger off. Because you have a friend in your life who, when you're with them, you're focused on the grace and the mercy and the power of God. You don't go down that dark alley of negativity that we often find ourselves in our culture today, right? In this story, Lot made some good business decisions, but bad family decisions. His choice of where to live led to what kind of culture he was going to be in. And I think we have some choices to make there too. We live in a culture that is not dominated by Christian thinking. And yet there are Christian people who we can surround ourselves with. Sometimes you're going to be that person for another person. You're going to be the friend who lifts that conversation to the better place. Some of y'all have been in a discussion and conversations, and you see where all of a sudden the conversation turns and from a conversation into an argument, or from conversation into gossip, and maybe you're the one who's going to rescue that. Two tips from this story, and I'll close with a reading from John. First of all, always seek God's ways and His solutions to problems. Don't compromise. This is such a problem for me personally, is I get in situations where I think this isn't really the right thing to do. And sometimes this has to do with telling just part of the truth. You know, I can tell part of the truth, but not all the truth, or I can leave out part of the story that doesn't make me look good. Don't compromise. Pursue God's will all the time. No compromise. Don't compromise with right and wrong in your life. But then, choose friends who help you do that. Choose friends who help you do that. And be the kind of friend that helps others do that. Now then, here's a harder thing. I know, looking back in my life, I've been in relationships that ultimately led me to places where I shouldn't have gone. Sometimes those relationships were with good people. I never expected to ever have an affair, but I did. I didn't ever expect to be a person who people could not trust, but I did. Now, how did that happen? Compromise. and spending too much time with friends who were compromised with me. And so sometimes you need to find a different place to be, or you need to find different people to be with. I wonder how hard it would have been for Lot to leave Sodom once he saw things turning bad. I wonder how hard it would have been to him break off some of those friendships that he had before it got to the point of no return. And I guess with him, there's always a point of return. And that's the thing I want to say last. God, I think, as I look through the eyes of Peter, God saw Lot as a guy who was still fighting the fight. He lost, but he was still fighting the fight. I have some friends who have fought the fight and lost. Some to drug addiction, some to sexual sin, some to suicide. But I believe in the grace of God, he sees them as people who are always fighting the fight. I think this is what I learned from Peter's version of the story of Lot. Lot was a righteous man, fighting the fight. The consequences were still the same in his life. And so for us today, this is a story with a warning. Decisions always have consequences. Make good decisions. Don't compromise. And second, and maybe most of all, surround yourself with people who love God and seek his will. Surround yourself, spend time with people who love God and are seeking his will. And be that kind of person as a friend yourself. We're going to sing, and then I'll come back and I'll read that reading from John 17. Let's stand and sing first.